It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Hey, Alex, hi.
Hi, hello.
We are talking TV with you. Yep. Viewmaster is the name of the segment. You are our guest for that segment. You have been watching the TV, have you?
Correct. Well, I've been watching my laptop. Does that count as the TV? I guess it does.
I guess it does, yeah, nowadays. Nowadays.
So we're going to talk, like, we've been talking about new shows quite a lot on this segment, I think. So I figured it was time we did a little archival delve. We'll go into the past.
Need a noise. Hang on. I might have a noise for that. Stay,
yeah, bring it on. Should I still tease what the show is that we're going to talk about? How far back in the past are we going?
Did nobody know?
Archival dive.
Here we go.
Mikey just loads up his DJ sampler.
Is that good enough, or do we need to sort
of... No, I think it was pretty good. It was actually pretty appropriate to the show as well, because I feel like that is the kind of sound effect that the Flight of the Conchords guys would use, because that's what we're talking about. Yeah, definitely that one.
That was good. Yeah. So why do I use those all the time? Come on, Auckland, let's hear it.
Prepped it in advance. So Flight of the Conchords...
Sorry, I couldn't hear over that multiple... Yeah, no. Multi-shop.
Flight of the Conchords was 10 years old last year.
Oh, happy birthday.
2007 it came out. And Jermaine's currently making a TV show in Wellington called Wellington Paranormal.
And Brett's currently helping bring the Muppets here in April.
Yeah, I actually just saw that last week. I thought that was pretty amazing. You're psyched, I can tell by your face.
Isn't their story great? They're a couple of just hardworking touring, treading the boards,
yeah,
performers,
troubadours almost. New Zealand's own troubadours.
One of the funniest thing I've ever seen on stage was the thing that Tyker and Jermaine did once.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first time I ever saw, even knew that Jermaine was Jermaine. And then not long after that was the Flight of the Conchords, which was told piss off by TVNZ. Not interested in that. Good day.
I mean, that story is probably pretty well known to most of New Zealand, right? Like, that's almost folklore for the show now.
My point being, Alex, is that they got kicked out of New Zealand, basically, by any potential broadcasting partner there, and then went over to the States, had mammoth success, and have taken the ball and run with it, both of them.
Yeah, totally. It's incredible what they've done. Question, what do you think the show would have been like if TVNZ or another New Zealand commissioner had picked it up? Would it have been set in New York? What would it have been about, the things that it is about? Maybe we should talk about what the show is about.
The quote from the TVNZ person was, we thought this would be more suitable for an American cable channel.
Whatever.
Yeah, well... they were right.
You can speculate on that, but it's really down to the commissioner. Some commissioners will go, you know what? I trust you. Do whatever you like. Here's the money. And other commissioners in New Zealand will be like, give me every script. Yeah. I have script approval. I want to change lines.
I don't like this character.
I don't think that New Zealand was in a place back then, and potentially like internationally, television wasn't really in a place for people for networks to sort of say go and do your thing, you know.
Yeah.
Arguably there are obviously exceptions to that rule, like Curb was, you know, like started in 2000 and
that's the guy who you don't argue with. You don't argue with someone who's responsible for Seinfeld.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was this post Dave Chappelle?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think it would have been. Yeah. Dave Chappelle was like...
There was sort of like a turning point when the comedy channels had a lot of money to offer people.
I have another question. First of all, I was kind of prepared for the nostalgia element of this show, obviously, right? Like, you know, it's 10 years old. It's like, you know, the media landscape has changed quite a lot since it came out. But I wasn't really prepared for the depth of emotion that I felt watching it. And that I, like, especially the pilot, especially like the sort of earlier episodes, I kind of forgotten that I was so familiar with this show. And part of that was because I was living in London when it came out.
Wow.
Yeah, and I kind of don't think that I realized then, but retrospectively, I can kind of definitely feel that I felt connected to it in this kind of Kiwis abroad sort of way. That sense of realization that the world is like larger than the little island you grew up on, which is obviously something that's like easy to know, but quite a lot more difficult to experience.
New Zealanders have a terrible habit, excuse me for being presumptuous about this, but of always thinking things are going to be so much better when I go overseas, I'm, you know, boring old New Zealand. But and then when we get over there, we actually realize we're actually pretty interesting ourselves.
Yeah, you know? It's a tough hang because, you know, we're so far away from everything.
Yeah, but we're an interesting type of people. I think, you know, for well, we're interested in ourselves, obviously, but also other people think we're interesting.
At least 1 million of us live overseas.
Wow. That's a bonkers statistic. And for a while, two of them were
good
Jermaine
statistic,
and Brett.
Though. Well done.
I mean, we also export very well. And I mean, I'd actually kind of forgotten how much this show's like stock and trade is. It's like New Zealand exoticness. That idea of like isolation.
New Zealand otherness.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally.
But then the only other thing that even come close to that as far as exporting was would be Fred Dagg. You know, like that.
Sure. You know? Can I play a little clip? We'd love you
to do that.
You just tell me when.
Now.
Oh.
Now.
Oh, yeah,
I give them a map, and I tell them to stay clear of crowds by going through back alleys. Yet almost every day a New Zealander is mugged. You just don't know. You hear a lot of terrible things happening. You may be dead.
He may be dead what?
You may be dead.
Yeah, I know, but what did he maybe do?
He may be dead.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. What did he maybe do?
No, he may be dead.
Are you guys fucking with me?
What? Not alive, you know. Dead.
Oh.
Like, ridiculous.
Who's on first? That's legit who's on first.
Yeah. And that's quite a lot. Like the Brit, like, you know, that joke is revisited again and again and again, which is kind of surprising. And, like, I actually have a question for you guys. Like, what was your experience of watching it in New Zealand? Because I can obviously talk very specifically about what that felt like when I was also abroad, but, like, watching it, being in New Zealand, and watching them be overseas. Also, how did you watch it? Was it on
TV? I downloaded it before it came out over here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Quite a while.
I think a lot of people downloaded it.
So it was kind of like for people that were kind of like in the know culturally, that were plugged into that world.
To watch it and go, oh, look at New Zealand, that is, oh my God. You know, that's pretty cool. It was.
Was it being written about?
I think so.
Not as much as I thought it would have been, I think. But maybe, you were just getting the buzz back that they got the show for a start, which is pretty impressive, you know.
Yeah.
And then, so you can see what it was like. And for me anyway, maybe different, Sarah, but when I discovered them and I sort of seen their live, them just playing live, watched it about 100 times, and then just sort of, wow, and then what's next? Oh, they're doing that next. And it all just sort of was beautifully timed for me.
Trajectory.
It was also that classic Kiwi thing of like, oh, Kiwi comedy sucks until it goes overseas and it gets its dues and you go, they're ours.
We
had them. We liked them first.
Yeah, right.
It was a lot of that.
It's really, really, really weird as a show. I almost cannot believe that HBO commissioned it because it's so weird.
Was this around about the same time as Mighty Boosh? Because it's got a kind of sideways,
very good question.
Weird comedy structure.
That was a parallel that I actually hadn't thought about. I did like a little bit of research into what was going on in America at the time because obviously that was the network that it was on, but I couldn't, like, definitely, yes, yeah. That was like Noel Fielding and Julian Barrett were huge at the time in the UK. I'm just trying to think about what I was doing on the streets of London.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But even if you weren't overseas and watching it as an expat, like we run away. And so I think maybe that spoke to a lot of people, particularly in the demographic to which it was directed.
Totally, yeah. The pilot isn't great. just to put that out there, it's like kind of badly directed and cut really fast, and it doesn't really convey the tone that it kind of settles into in its later episodes, you know, like as so many TV shows do. But there's this like undeniable energy that I guess like kind of speaks to your point, Mikey, about this inevitable sense of their success, that this kind of like HBO sees something in them that is going to be what they're going to be no matter what, you know, and they just decide, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I'm getting in on the ground floor, or maybe they were on the like fifth floor by then or whatever. It's like the landscape was so different back then as well. Like so much has kind of passed in the sort of like short 10 years, like Two and a Half Men was just starting that year. Grey's Anatomy was like just beginning. We were kind of halfway through Lost.
Wow.
Mad Men and the Big Bang Theory hadn't come out yet. Queer Eye had just finished.
So it really was a point of difference because we're quite dry.
Pre Game of Thrones, obviously.
Do you know what reminds me of Weird Fly the Conquers is Broad City? You've seen that?
Right.
Which is like a colourful New York girl sort of version of.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
You know? As blunt and sort of awkward and sort of fun at the same time. Yeah.
And very singular, like very, very much a show that couldn't have come from anyone else other than them.
Yeah.
But of course, we haven't even mentioned that it's peppered with bloody songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is how they earned their stripes in the first place, isn't it?
Are we gonna play one right now?
Do you want to talk?
Like the only other thing that I kind of want to say is that like some of it has not aged.
A what bit?
Brilliantly. Okay, like...
What are you, call yourself a New Zealander?
Quite a
lot of its jokes... Quite a lot of its... quite a lot of its jokes are kind of about, like, being gay and that kind of thing.
Yep.
That kind of was charming, perhaps, a decade ago. You could kind of get away with it a decade ago, but, like, hasn't aged very well at all and doesn't feel super woke in 2018. and then actually the same... There's, like, a whole storyline... And this is kind of frustrating because this is like one of my favorite episodes, like in terms of its writing and the actual comedy. It's like Brett's having body issues and David Bowie appears to him in a dream. Jermaine, as David Bowie, appears to him in a dream to help him get through his bulimia, even though he doesn't actually have bulimia. It's like brilliant premises, but just feels there's this like, is that gay, you know, that kind of thing that just is super awkward. And then later on in the episode, he pulls a Karen J. Kalanen in this like business meeting about getting their song on a greeting card, which is like also weird. To be fair, Murray actually calls him out about that and like tells him he committed a crime. So it's kind of also like a wee bit sex pesty, like not in a massively problematic way, but just in the way that like 90% of the storylines are about them, like the girls that they're dating. Like it's not really about what happens with the band. Like the band stuff consists of like them having these stupid meetings and then just that's it. Most of it is like, who are they dating and what are the girls doing and blah blah blah. But then there's also this episode in which they like really consciously and knowingly subvert these stereotypical dating dynamics, in which Brett is kind of emasculated by this like overly aggressive, I don't know, it's like it's very bizarre. It feels like
New York is a bizarre town. I'd
be interested to know, and I kind of deliberately didn't research this, but like how much they wrote while they were in New York versus how much
and
they
how
wrote
much
here, like
pre-existing
how much now. It exists. Yeah,
I think the thing I interviewed Rhys Darby. I was telling Sarah off air before, but I interviewed Rhys Darby about it, and I thought that his character really felt like he brought that character to the show.
Dude, when I think about Flight of the Conchords, I kind of think about Murray.
Yeah, but they wrote all his parts.
Right.
Most of his parts.
Anyway. Right.
I just took it as that was his character. Yeah, because he's so good at it.
He must have had, he has that persona. Like, that's been part of his shtick for so long. And so I guess you write for that.
Yeah. The only other thing to say is that there are incredible, like, where are they now moments or, like, look at them now kind of thing. Aziz Ansari plays, like, a fruit vendor. And Kirsten Schaal playing Mel is just like, oh my God,
so
give
good.
Her, like, just. And Eugene Merman plays their weird, creepy landlord. And those two people play Jean and Louise in Bob's Burgers. They're like brother
Amazing.
And sister. I don't think they ever share screen time, but I think that might be, like, the first thing they were in together. And I guess that's just what you get when you're in the HBO wheelhouse, right? Where you can, like, you know.
Prove your chops and then you get lots of work.
Well, like, so this is all these upcoming comedians.
This is on Neon at the moment, is it?
Yeah, which is kind of amazing because I think it's really difficult to... Well, like, unless you want to go and buy the DVD box set, which, you know, who has a DVD player anymore? So, yeah, it's streaming on Neon.
You've picked a track. Why have you picked this one?
Probably because it's, like, the most... It's, like, the least jokey one and the most kind of like a song and also has the funniest lyrics.
Can I play my 25-second Murray bit over just before you start?
This is
one of my favourite Murray bits in the whole wide Murray.
The whole
wide Murray. Well, look, just to let you know, right, that sort of behaviour is actually the norm. It's standard practice.
You're for the manager to email the fans, so you're up for a man lady threesome.
You'll be offered drugs, you know, you'll have threesomes, dinners, you know, you'll end up going into town in a taxi, have a couple of drugs, have dinner, have a threesome, go home again, have a shower, go out again, more drugs, more threesomes, happens all the time.
Some of the best dialogue. Like things
Can't
like.
Can't have a shower.
No, you need a haircut, Brett. People in bands don't have long hair. Like just those kind of things are just genius. Yeah, it's really good. But streaming on Neon, man. Highly, highly recommended.
Right on. Thank you, Alex.
Play that song. Thank you very much.
There's children on the street using guns and knives. They're taking drugs and each other's lives, killing each other with knives and calling each other names like dogs.
There's people on the street get diseases from monkeys. Yeah, that's what I said, they get diseases from monkeys. Now there's junkies with monkey disease. Who's touching these monkeys? Please leave these poor sick monkeys alone. They got problems enough as it is.
Man is lying on the street, some punk's chopped off his head. I'm the only one who stops to see if he's dead. Turns out he's dead, and that's why I'm singing.
Why
is wrong with the world today?
What's wrong with the world today?
What
is wrong with the world today? You gotta think about it.
Think about it. Good cops been framed, put into a can, and all the money that we're making, it's going to the man.
A man, what makes a man a man? Am I a man? Yes, technically I am. They're turning kids into slaves just to make cheaper sneakers. But what's the real cost? Cause the sneakers don't seem that much cheaper. Why we still paying so much for sneakers when you got them made by little slave kids? What are you over here?
At the end of your life, you're lucky if you die. Sometimes I wonder why we even try. Saw a man lying on the street half dead, with knives and forks sticking out of his leg, and he said, ow, 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 ow. Can somebody get the knife and fork out of my leg, please?
Can somebody please remove these calories from my knees?
And then we break it down. Yeah. It's the acapella jams.
Ooh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, 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 breaking it down.
Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.